What's up, guys? Welcome to the Dudes with Hobbies. We're the dudes and we get hobbies. I'm Artem.
I'm Miguel.
I'm Keith.
And today, guys, we're going to be talking about our grilling and the new topics. Stay tuned. So, grilling.
Bam. This was a fun one. Oh, goodness. Does anybody want to start? I can start as per our usual.
Yeah, as per our usual, please, sir.
Perfect. Especially in this trying time that we're, you know, experiencing, trying to eat healthier. You know, it's really easy just to kind of order food and get it delivered, or, you know, vice versa, be very, like, greasy or anything like that. But grilling has always been something that I enjoyed doing, not so much because it's like, you know, the fire, the food, but it is just once you eat the food, you feel good about it. Obviously the way I do it is I don't have the fancy one where you put the coals or the specific flavored wood or some shit like that. I just use the propane tank. It's easy, it's convenient, and I've just gotten used to cooking it on the propane tank. But all in all, I make a lot of chicken, and let me emphasize the word a lot. It's literally one of the most things that I eat is just chicken. So I've just found different ways to make the chicken taste better, I guess. You know, something to keep it fresh and not.
I don't know. I thought chicken already good.
Yeah, but like, okay. So if you were to, okay, my point is, if you were just to throw a chicken, like just a chicken breast, let's say, into a grill, you don't put any seasoning or anything, it's not going to taste very good. It's going to be edible. It's going to, you know, you're not going to be hungry. But you may not want to try it again. You might want to add some ketchup, some mustard, something. Some sauce, you know, because chicken ends up being very dry.
Do you put yogurt in it?
I've never had chicken with yogurt.
No, like you marinate with yogurt.
Oh... I have
make it
not.
Juicy and tender.
Mm-mm. See, okay, so my thing is, I've had some pretty bad experiences with chicken. it's like flashback PTSD.
Of chicken.
So while I was in Okinawa, I feel same because I've only had good experiences there. But for this one specifically, it was one of the Korean barbecue style restaurants where they gave you raw food. You then cooked that raw food and then you ate the cooked food. But for my instance, I think we were very drunk and probably ingested some raw chicken. Needless to say, ended up going home that night with being drunk into then feeling like crap from drinking too much. And then also eating raw chicken. So it was, I could probably say, the worst night of my life because I did not want to throw up. Like, I knew I needed to throw up to make myself feel better, but I was like, nope, not doing that. So I suffered like through the whole weekend, and I'm pretty sure it was food poisoning. So that could have gone really bad.
But food poisoning is the worst because it's like it removes your like trust in the food. You're like, I don't know, I've
exactly.
been tricked before.
And that's what I was gonna go with. This is now whenever I eat chicken, if it's not like at a restaurant that I know is a good restaurant, I just eat my chicken dry as fuck. Like I make sure that it is cooked. Like if this chicken was a piece of beef, it would be extra well done. I don't know. It's just me. I love chicken for what it is. I enjoy it when it's very juicy and tender, but only from a restaurant where these professional people are supposed to know how to cook this. Because if I come back feeling, you know, sick from eating chicken, I'm going to sue them. But can't really sue myself. So I'm going to burn my chicken pretty much. But yeah, that was a little inside story of why I overcook my chicken. But you know what? It's okay. Because I'm okay with it. You know, I'm going to eat my overcooked chicken and know that it's cooked and know that it's not going to make me feel bad. But
sound like Miguel. I think you need a temperature gauge to check if a chicken is cooked.
Yeah, okay. Probably. But you know what? I'm probably gonna still cook it the same way I cook it now.
I actually never use a temperature gauge. I usually just cut into the meat to see to make sure there's nothing pink or the juice that comes out is clear and not like blood.
Oh, see, okay. I don't know. I don't know why I just don't cut it. But I also, okay, also what I do for my chicken is the regular chicken breast that comes from Costco. It's a big ass chicken breast. So what I do is I fillet it in half. So I'm only cooking half of a chicken breast. So that also helps with like cooking better. Cause like, I don't know if you guys had issues before where you're cooking chicken and you're like, oh my God, well, it looks beautiful. It's ready to go. Then you cut into it and you're like, oh my God. Like, it's still moving. So.
Do you cook it on an open flame or do you use coal?
No, so I use propane. So I guess open flame. Right? That's what it would be? Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's that. But what I do first is I put it on really, really, really high. And then I do the whole searing thing. So for those nice little marks. And then once that's done, I flip it to the other side and get the nice little mark on that side. And then I turn the heat way down and I just let it like cook very slowly, if you will. But even then, I still let it cook for fucking ever and it comes out very dry. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with eating some dry chicken.
God, I hate that. It's like eating bread that doesn't taste like bread and you're just like, what is this abomination?
Fun fact, I actually love bread, so I'm okay with some bread flavored chicken.
Ew. Or
chicken flavored bread, if you
will. I gotta be honest, that's like the worst dish for me. Like if somebody gives me just like dry white meat of the chicken, I'm just like, I might as well just choke on air. Like,
let me take just choke away. On this chicken.
Yeah, like at that point, it's like a reminder of how bad the times are, you know?
Oh,
because it's
no.
Like you eat not because you want to eat or because this is going to taste good. You eat just to fill your substance needs. And you're just like,
but you know, yeah, but I'm okay with that. Like, I don't know. I'm very like simple, like, and this could be said throughout for like all my cooking. Like Travis will make some, like he makes the Olive Garden Tuscany, like the sausage soup, the one that has like the sausage, the beef. You know what I'm talking about? The white soup.
Yep.
Yes. He makes that shit and it comes out so good. Oh my Lord. Like you eat that, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to eat the whole thing. There's flavor, there's spice, there's like it's in everything nice. yeah, no, he cooks so well. But I'm like, that was a lot of work. I'm just going to do my chicken. Throw my white rice in the steamer, like the what's it called, the rice cooker, and then just have that. I'm okay with that. I think it makes those quote unquote special meals, I guess, even more special because I'm not used to it. So I'm okay with it. I also want to say it's probably the military to blame.
Because
you can't really go out.
I don't know, man. It's just I think you're just not a picky eater.
Well, that too. But I mean, you can't really be a picky eater. And because like in the military, you only had certain choices. And these choices, they all taste like shit. So do you want something that, you know, is going to taste less like shit? But it requires you to put more work into
that's
it.
That's what I understand, right? So, so I look it up for the French like choice for the army and the Korean choice for their army food, like and ration.
Oh
and
yeah, like okay. That.
And compared to the American, they both like the French. They have pate. They have all these kind of like smell food that. Tastes good, smell good, and everything.
Right.
And compared to American, this is dry.
Yeah. And
like,
that's
what's wrong with it?
So the thing is, it because okay, first of all, it's gonna be hard to understand for quote unquote civilians, but for us, it's not so much like, I think Artem said it earlier. It's just you're eating to fill your body with the nutrients that it needs, not to make you feel like, oh, this is delicious, I want more. You're going to eat it because your body needs it. Once you're done eating it, you're going to feel better. That's you know, the main purpose of food is to keep you alive and functioning well. It, you know, we, as I would even say, as society, make it more of a tasting really good, or, you know, flavors and things like that. But in the military, it's just like, it's food. You need food. You're going to get food, and you're going to eat food, and you'll be fine.
That's a weird mentality, dude.
But that's what I'm saying. That's part of, like, I'm not going to say all military branches. It's just maybe the one that I was in. It was just kind of like you're eating food. And even when we were training, we had, it was like 20 minutes to get into the cafeteria, get our food, sit down, eat, and then be outside. And like everything was timed, everything, you know, it was in a quick and a hurry because they want to train you for the worst possible case scenario, as if, you know, we're out in combat with somebody else, you don't have the time to make this bomb ass chicken breast, you know, you're going to eat whatever pretty much is given to you. So if you train for the with the mentality of things not being I can't even explain it, but if you're already going with the worst possible mentality, like, you're already ready for it, you know, that's as ready as you're going to be until it actually happens. You know, whether is that making any sense?
Yeah, yeah, but
okay,
I still have some butts over there because I look at the military ration for the French, mm-hmm. the British,
yes,
the American, and South Korean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I can see the difference between the British and American compared with the French and the South Korean. And then if you look at the ration for even for Russia too, they have some ration for Russia too,
mm-hmm.
and it's they aren't completely different. And then the top one come up for me was the France and the South Korea, even though the food is very fast, but they put a lot more flavor in it, so you don't make you choke on it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
The food in there is they make it really fast too. So mm-hmm. so they make sure the nutrients in there.
Mm-hmm.
The timing is in there, but they actually have a caring to make sure it tastes okay, not for you to choke on it.
Right. No, and I mean, I understand that. And I'm not going to say all the food that I've eaten while I was in the military was bad. It's just like, well, in training, you're taught this certain mentality, like you're getting ready to go out.
Yeah, you know? Like, I get that. Like, okay. You need to have timing. You need to be, like, disciplined. You need to be fast. I completely get, mm-hmm. right? Because you're in the army. The thing I don't get is, like, well, might as well put a little more flavor into it so you can, like, chuck it out faster.
I mean, yeah, that would make sense. But, I mean, I'm sure it also comes down to what's available if they have the seasonings for it. I mean, you know, things could happen where deliveries don't come all the way they're supposed to, or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh well,
I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess that your chicken experience, right?
Yeah.
It's very dry, very eatable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your style. It's
yeah, exactly.
Dry and stale.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, I wouldn't say stale. I would definitely say dry. I do put seasoning on it, so it does taste good. It's just the chicken itself is dry. Like, there's a reason why I'm still eating this food, is because it tastes good to me, you know. And I'm only cooking for myself, so that's all. I don't really care.
All right.
Well, Autumn,
yeah,
what
I think
about
that's
you,
me.
I see you got some groove stuff going on.
Yeah, that
on.
Shit looks so good.
Yeah, so we had some pork chops, some ribs, some burger patties made out of turkey meat. And then I've also forgot about the tradition of grilling, is that you take some potatoes and you wrap them in the foil and you throw them in the coal. So the way I do my stuff is I usually start a fire with like sticks and some paper. And then after the fire gets like a nice hot point, I put the coal in and I wait for the coal to turn gray. And the heat is immense. So it cooks things very quick. There's barely any fire. And it kind of like sears it, but I like to put the wood in because it gives it like that nice smoky smell that adds to like the spice and the experience. And unlike Miguel, my shit comes out really juicy. And even after like a couple of days of it being in the fridge and you microwave it, once you bite into it.
Should you put your shit in a fridge?
Yeah. And then I call it shit popsicles. Shit pops. And yeah, so after you microwave it, you know, even though microwave attacks the, boils the water inside the food, it still comes out juicy, tastes great. The seasoning is all you need, and that's about it. It's pretty simple. There is a huge involvement of burning my hand while doing this, though, so every time I do it, I have to have, like, at least 2 beers before I begin.
Oh, wait, does that help? What?
It numbs the pain.
Oh, my God.
So pain... burn your hand? How do you burn your hand?
Yeah, I was going to say, so that pain part of the process? Like, does it make the meat taste better?
Yeah, actually, it does, because... So, what happens is, the temperature is really... Like, it's fucking hot, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, I usually do, like, a lot of stuff on the grill, but I don't have a handle long enough to a point where, like, my hand doesn't cross into the grill territory, because as soon as it does, it's like... And you're like, my hand! You know? So, I kind of have to power through it to, like, flip everything, and then I'll close the grill again, and I'll wait, like, another, like, 5-10 minutes. And then after, it gets to, like, about, like, this... dark brownish color, but not burnt yet. I'll cut into it and I'll see like if there's anything pink. And usually when I pick like the one that's either further away from like the center and the one that's like the thickest. Because like if you're the thickest one is cooked, obviously the ones that are thinner are they're cooked gonna be, as well.
Yeah.
And you might want to rotate them a little bit, you know, like if you have like heat in one area, but then you don't have a lot of heat in the other, just like flip them around, move them about. It's a whole thing, man. I mean, grilling is art, and I think I've gotten it to a pretty good point that I'm happy. Like every time I grill, you know, my family's very excited about it, and life is good, you know.
Nice. And I noticed that you were using charcoal.
Yeah.
Was that any specific kind of charcoal, or is that
I
one
don't
that
like to use you... charcoal that has the what's it called, like the ignition already in it, where you just throw the charcoal in and like you just
you
bring it open
the gas in there.
Yeah. They're like put the gas already in it, so you don't have to start a fire. Mine is all a fire first, and then you throw them on there, and then they eventually get to a hot temperature.
Oh, okay. So kind of like a self-starter charcoal almost.
Yeah, exactly. Not that.
Okay, that's
it's not self-starting, because the self-starting one, you don't have to have a fire, right? You just put it all in there, and like you light it, and then it lights immediately, and then it just lights everything else, and then it just kind of gets to that point. I use the one that doesn't have that.
Okay, perfect.
Because I like that smoky taste to it, and then the wood gives you very nice smoky taste.
See, that sounds good. That sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. Like, and I haven't even like tasted it, but it just sounds delicious.
I mean, look at the picture. It's so good. You know what's funny though? The best, in my opinion, the best thing that was there, because I haven't had this in a while, was baked potatoes. That Idaho potatoes that I got from Walmart for $5.99 was fucking bomb ass potatoes. Oh, like, I only made 6, right? And by the time we were done eating, there's only one remained.
Oh my god. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I can't say that I've cooked potatoes on it. Like, I've done corn. Corn's fine.
I do a sweet potato.
See? Oh, and then you turn that into yams?
No, just sweet potato, baked sweet potato. Like, because you see all my pictures, you put on the grill, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And after that, you put butter with the brown sugar. You mix them and you put it in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fucking good.
Yeah,
it is good.
You know what I've always been tempted to do is to do that corn thing that we did when we went out camping that one time.
Oh my god.
Just stick a can of corn and just throw it in there and then being like the most delicious thing you've ever had when you're hungry.
Because we're fucking starving.
Oh my god. I don't even... Oh.
Yeah, the line in the grocery store is like, you think this will be enough? Like, we don't have like 20 people. Of course this will be enough. Literally 2 hours into camping trip. I'm hungry. We're out of food.
Where did we go camping again? Oh my god.
I don't know, like...
It was like a park, and then you guys went there again. Remember when it snowed?
Yeah, like, why the fuck we go camping when it snow?
Yeah, and then literally the next 4 days is like perfect 75 weather with no rain or nothing. We're just like, of course.
Oh my
like, what God. The fuck is going on? Like right, the day when we go camping, you know what? Let's get some snows on and get super cold, right? And we're just like, oh, fuck, let's go home.
Yeah.
And as soon as we go home, like, the next day, it was like, you know what? It's perfect weather now. Thanks.
Jesus.
God. Thanks, God.
God. Why?
It'd be like that sometimes. You don't think so, but it do. All right, Keith, what about you? Tell us about your grilling experience.
It was great. So I marinate my chicken. Of course, I use chicken. A day before, I put some yogurt, some garam masala, curry powder, cumin, you know what, like 8 or 10 different spices in it. And with yogurt, of course, and then some lemon to tenderize the meat. Marinate for over a day, and afterwards, grilled it. I grilled with charcoal. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then I grilled it, like, my grilling technique is kind of weird. So I make the grill really, really hot, and then I grill for the chicken to get a little bit charred and burn a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on the side, and then I put like a little bit of water on the charcoal to make smokes that come out. Then I close the thing and make it smoking like a sauna. So in the end, the chicken is very juicy and tender. And halfway there, I grow in some sweet potatoes, like I told you guys before.
Yes.
With sweet potato butter and brown sugar mix. Oh, so good.
That's like I'm already getting hungry.
Yeah. So the chicken is some Indian. I don't know. It's like an Indian style chicken when I cook it.
Oh, okay.
So. I love the Indian style chicken because they are very juicy because of the marinade over a date thing. So, I don't know. I just use charcoal on the side and I don't get burned my hand like Autumn does. So, I don't know what's going on.
I think it might just be the grill as well. It looks
my
like
grill
has,
is thick. It's big.
And then for your excuse, since it's circular, I guess I should have taken one on my grill. Mine's just like a rectangle. But about maybe like about the same size as Keith's, but definitely not as big as Artem's.
Oh yeah,
I have two grill. Like one is like the big one. One is a small one. Small one is like for just a family, right? The big one, like when I have friends over and I use it, I don't get burned on that shit either.
Good.
Yeah, but like your small one is like three of mine. And like if you were to put them like three like side by side, that's what mine's like. So I don't really. I also kind of like have my grill in the corner of the deck. So there's only two angles I can approach it from. You know, I can't go like any other way around it. So
maybe just.
I mean, you get burned. I still don't get it. Like do you touch the grill or
No.
The
so,
heat coming up from it.
Yeah, the heat the temperature of the grill once it starts like actually cooking stuff is really, really hot. Like if you hold your hand for longer than like a second.
Why do you do that for?
Because it cooks the meat.
Yeah.
Just flip them.
No, that's exactly what happens though, because I go to flip them, right? And they'll get like sometimes we'll get stuck to the thing, so I have to like kind of finesse it out of it. Stuck to the metal mesh.
Yeah.
And then once I'm finessing it, I'm like holding my hand like 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds, you know, depending on how long it takes. And then I'm like, and then
I go back. That sounds like the exact sound you would make. You might just need like a longer flipping tool.
Or you just need to get used to the heat.
What?
Yeah, so what happens is, okay, so when I say I burn my hand, I don't mean, like, there's blisters that come out and, like, all this stuff, right? It just gets really high, and I'm just like, and then I go back in, and then I flip it, and I'm like, woo, and then I get my beer, and I'm just like, ah, life
and
is good.
And he takes a sip of the beer.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay,
contemplating my life choices as I do it.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. So, I mean, is this something, like, is this something that you guys would do, like, on a daily basis, a special
if
occasion?
I could afford it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll grill all my meat if I could afford it.
I don't know. I could grill my meats if I have time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It takes too much fucking time, to be honest.
Well, like, for your other kinds of meat, like, how do you cook it?
For beef and then for pork?
If you don't grill
beef,
it.
Beef, I do medium well, so it's stay on the grill. I never actually smoke it.
Okay.
So as soon as in there, I just stay on the grill, flip it a few times, around 3 minutes, depending on the cut, 3 or 5 minutes, depending on how thick is the cut, and then just flip them and just salt and pepper, and that's it. And for pork, it's stay on the grill, and I have to, for pork, right? Mm-hmm. I like to cook the pork on the on like a big grill, because pork for me, and you need to cook it for like a long time too.
Yeah, it takes some
but
time.
You don't want to smoke them, because smoke them, when you put it in there, it gets dry. So I have to cook, stay on the grill, and then have to have a big grill so I can flip like all of them at the same time, flip back and forth. Just a lot of work, man.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Like, as soon you cook, right, and you finish the cooking, you don't want to eat them anymore because you're fucking tired.
I mean, I
never happened to me, by the way.
What time of night, or like, are you cooking like later at night? Because I mean, if you're doing this in the afternoon and like hanging out with family and friends, I think you wouldn't feel so tired. You might just.
I was just too tired, hungry. Man. Like I cook at like a 10.
Yeah.
By 12 or 1:30, I was like, this is fucking tired. I need sleep. And I didn't eat anything yet, right? And I was like, ugh, this is fucking tired. This is just a wreck. But the food is good, I guess, in a sense. Cooking for me is enjoyable. It's almost like an art.
Okay,
but
okay.
As soon as you're done with it, I think you're very, very tired. You have to bribe. And then the thing is, like, when I'm done cooking, right, I have to clean them too. Like the charcoal and everything, I have to clean the grill to make it clean. I don't just leave them there and like just like do nothing with it.
Oh, I definitely leave all those juices just sitting there for later, so that way when I cook it, I taste it. I'm just kidding.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I was like, that sounds first of all gross. No, I mean, yeah. I think I could see it, but for me, I just don't enjoy spending time cooking. So if I can do it quicker and faster and it still tastes fine, I'm going to do it. But that's why, like, for my rice, I just prefer the rice cooker because it comes out perfectly. I mean, I put seasoning on it before, and then when it gets ready, I stir it, you know?
Yeah, that's what I get for the rice cooker for your cuisine, right? Mm-hmm. Do you put spices in on your rice?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Because for my rice, it's just... cook the rice and that's it. I didn't put any spices on it.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, I grew up like eating a lot of fried rice, so they would always put some sort of flavor, or like it would always accompany with something. So I mean I could eat white rice, I don't have any issues with it, but I mean I put a little bit of seasoning, and I just like the fact that I can just season it, put it on for like 15 minutes, and then come back and then eat the rice because it's ready. I don't have to look at it. I don't have to watch it. And the cleaning process, oh my lord, it literally takes like 2 minutes for you to clean your the rice cooker. So that's one of my main things.
Yeah, the rice cooker is perfect for cooking rice, to be honest.
Yeah, it's like it's made for it.
It is made for it.
Lol.
Yeah. Anyhow, yeah, that's my experience with cooking. Grilling, actually.
Yeah.
You see my grill. It's white, small, but it's not too small.
I was gonna say it works. It does what it needs works. To do.
Yeah, because I don't cook for a lot of people. I don't need to actually go on out with the big grill. The big grill, the cleaning thing, man, is even more harder.
Yeah, that's So yeah, and I guess now that you just mentioned that, Keith, so I also do a lot of meal prep. So that might be why I try to like not take forever and try to just cook things all just very as simple as possible, because I'm going to be eating the same thing for the whole week. Like, to me, that doesn't bother me.
I understand that. So. I understand that. I'm just saying, because grilling for me is like a special occasion.
Oh.
So I want to do it.
Got
more,
it. Okay, see, right, that way. Makes like so like for 4th of July type of thing. Go out.
Yeah, 4th of July.
I could see,
it does take a lot of time.
I could see a lot of time out there with some beers, grilling.
Exactly.
Keep telling me.
Actually, keep showing him how to not get burned.
I swear to God, the next time I come out of my house, when he grill, I'm just gonna go and then just grill it for him. But like, come on, man, just touch that shit. Don't worry about it.
just embrace the heat as his whole hand is on fire.
I do embrace the heat, Miguel. That's what the beer is for. It's for embracement. But I don't know. Like, to me, grilling is so relaxing though, because it's like you're just in the nature. There's a fire over there. You know, it doesn't matter if it's cold, if it's hot, if it's raining. You know, it's so cool. And then like you said, Miguel, like you know, do the meal prep and you try to cook for the whole week and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, when I grill, I try to make sure that there's enough food to last a week. So if I could, I would just grill every fucking weekend and just eat the grilled food later on. However, I do know that it is not good for you to constantly grill. Because I got to be honest. You're going to
get cancer.
Really? Well, don't tell me that.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I don't know about that, but like every time I grill and I'll eat the food, that food goes through me like a fucking train. Like as soon as that 2 hour mark passes, boom. All right, I'm out. You're not going to see me for like the next hour or something.
What the fuck?
No, like I'm talking about the grill because the way we burn the food on a grill.
Uh-huh.
That burn thing curves cancer, like causes cancer.
Oh my God.
So they're saying, all right, you can do it, but don't do it in moderation. Just don't eat it every day. You're going to fucking get cancer.
I guess like I'm going to just fucking die. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, we're going to die eventually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just make it a little bit slower. Now it's feel kind of weird. Die slowly.
Yeah, die slowly and quietly, please. We don't want to hear you.
Oh well,
Jesus Christ.
That's for grilling, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. That's pretty good.
All right, let's go to the next topic. Autumn, what's our next topic?
Well, good thing you asked, Key, because our next topic involves us doing something related to episode. I believe it was 17.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yes, episode 17, where we did the dungeon map, and then we all decided like what kind of traps we had and stuff like that. But now we have decided that we're going to make this a complete circle, sort of. Not really. We're going to make a D&D character that we would think would go through this dungeon and what would happen. So actually, we're all going to be in a party, right? Uh-huh. So all three of us, and we're all going to go through each of the dungeon, but we'll do that later. We're now just making a character.
Yeah.
So the character would
baby be... Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. So the character would be... So you need an image. So like what the dude looks like or the girl or... Whatever it, thing you come up with. Does yep. not have to be human. Also, never understood people that when they play fantasy worlds, they're like, you know what? I'll be a human, and I'll carry a sword and a shield. It's like, dude, go play a medieval game. Why don't you want to be an orc carrying a battle axe? Anyways. And then we need some stats for it,
mm-hmm.
and you need to pick a unique trait for your character.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Something like, does 50% of the damage to the undead? You know, whatever. I don't know. Make it something interesting.
And not something too interesting.
Yeah.
How interesting is that? I'm going to become a god. Oh. And every time I walk, things happen. See? Oh, special power.
That's pretty special.
I mean, if you have large balls every time you walk, things
happen. Oh my God.
Yeah, but like, don't make it too OP. Don't just be like, my unique trait is, this is a god. Like,
has no weaknesses.
So, yeah, no weaknesses. So, should we discuss our ideas, or...
I think we're going to have to save that for, like, next week, but...
We also need to pick a way to, like, assign stats, but right?
I don't get, like, how you make a character is not overpowered. Do you need to have some constraints, right? Because for me, as soon as you say make a character, I was like, yeah? A character? Oh, fucking God.
Oh.
What now?
Well, don't do...
Okay. So think about it this way. If you were to play a video game and you... New video game that everybody started at the same time. And then you just logged in, you're already max level, max stats. It's going to be fun for like 2 days. Because...
Yeah, they don't want to destroy the whole world and restart a new one. It's forgot about.
But you see what I'm saying though, like you become so overpowered that there you have no other competition, so you're eventually going to get bored with not being able to like go up against someone else.
Miguel, you underestimated my power.
Apparently everybody else does too.
I won't get bored if I have unlimited power, Miguel.
Well, I think for most people, and I mean especially with the game that I'm playing now, notice a trend where people become too strong and then you really can't do much. You're trying to get better, but they come by and just breathe on you and you die. So maybe something, adjust your stats, your, you know, your traits character to something that would still be fairly viable, but not completely overpowered. Because then at that point, like, why play a game where you're competing against people if you already know you're going to win?
So we need to have some constraint here, like, like, how much power can we take from the charge, and how much punishment can we take? You know what I mean? Because if you don't give like a limited like things, people are gonna try to cheat, and that's people is me. So what kind of character you try to create, Miguel?
So I mean,
like give us an idea of what character we can create and we can't.
So I mean, I'm gonna create one for my dungeon, and mine was kind of like a survival into like a final boss type of thing. So I'm gonna obviously start to like. I'm probably going to have different stages of my character. But like I said, I'm not going to go too far into it just because that's for next week. And then this is just like throwing out ideas. But I think what would make that the dungeon fun for me and for my character would just to show progress. And then as you're progressing, you're obviously getting better, and you know you're making things easier. But ultimately, it's going to be like a challenge at the very end. So I don't know. Like I don't want to be working towards something and then have it so easy that you're like, oh, that was it. So maybe put some sort of struggle in there. But I mean, it's going to be ultimately you. Don't think about it, your character as you yourself. More of like what you would create a character for like somebody else to play in your dungeon, if that makes
sense. How about instead of create a stat for your thing, stuff like that, every character start out with the same stat. For example, you have the same strength, whatever like that, but you have different personality and one passive skill.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking we could do. So for stats, let's all say that everybody starts at 5 of everything.
Okay.
And then you get, let's say, 10 points to...
to Gryffindor. Sorry.
Yeah. 10 points to, like, put in anything you want. So we'll have stats like, I don't know, strength, intelligence, charisma, luck, like, stuff like that.
Okay.
And then as far as this... the stat, the unique like thing that goes there, the unique traits. I don't know. What kind of, should we like predefine some and then you just pick from that, I guess.
Okay, so I think, I don't know. I guess I'm misunderstanding the whole character. Is this actually like for D&D? Is this an actual thing? Like people create their own characters like this?
Yeah, they have sheets where you can like pick your stuff.
Okay, so I think that's where I'm not catching on. I haven't created a character like that. I was under the impression it was just some sort of like image into that would fit the environment that your dungeon was in. So maybe I'll look into how to create a character first of all, because if this is already a thing, then I need to follow similar. Like Keith said, some rules, some, you know, so for like the stats, like, is there a max amount of stats since you're saying, so we all start as 5. So does that mean we're going to stay at 5?
No. So you get 5, right? It's okay. Basically like if you ever played like Fallout or Skyrim, well, Skyrim doesn't have that, but like Fallout mainly, right? Okay. So what they do is they'll give you, they'll make everything at 5, mm-hmm. right? And then they'll give you 10 extra points and you can assign those 10 extra points to whatever stats you want.
Okay, yeah, that sounds fine. So then you would then, once those assigned stats were distributed, that would be it.
That would be it, yeah.
You only have X amount of points to distribute, and then that was it.
Correct.
Okay, so 10 being the
amount of points that we're going to. Realistically, you can make two traits be maxed, because it's like usually out of 10, right? So you start at 5, and you get 10 extra points, so you can make, like, I don't know, like, say, luck and charisma to be 10, and then everything else stays at 5. So you're kind of average at those things. But, like, you're very lucky, and you can talk your way out of anything.
Okay, see, okay, that started to make a lot more sense. I was like, why are we going so into stats? I was like, this makes no sense. Okay, that's, okay. I'll definitely look more into it. But it sounds
how about this for the unique traits? Mm-hmm. How about we each give out, let's say, 3 unique traits, and then we'll just pick from those.
What do you mean?
Like, come up with 3 unique traits that are not super. You can just do like what Keith said, like, oh, it's a god. Yeah. And then out of those 3 unique traits, we'll discuss all like the what are we gonna get? 9 traits, then unique 9 traits, and then we're each gonna pick one or redo one to make it not super strong.
Oh, okay. So kind of like a pool of traits that we can all kind of discuss. Okay. Following. Yes. Dig it. Okay.
Is that working?
Yeah, it's like a character, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You gotta have personality, you gotta have some trait.
I think in D&D, they used to do like a backstory.
And also backstory. Let's do a backstory for a character too.
Okay.
Come on, nice.
This is fun. I'm excited. I'm such a nerd when it comes to these things. Oh my god. Let's do it.
Yikes.
It's beyond creation, I guess.
Sounds good.
Yep. Well. That's it for today.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for listening.
All right, thank you for listening.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.